Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. As you just heard, the Americans held on. It was tense. There was even a review. What would have been worse? But what would have been worse? 1-0 USA over Iran, about 100 minutes with all the injury time and stoppage time. Christian Pulisic gets the goal. He did not get a celebration because he was injured on the play and did not play in the second half. We'll see what his status is. Joining us now on the Wester Hotline, Sam Monson of PFF. Sam, are you into World Cup?
Not as much as I would be if Ireland was in it. But yeah, you know, reasonable amount.
I mean, it's funny to me, it's great to me that I'm sure I have much company in like being pretty or even very casual about soccer, but man, I buy this thing the whole way, like emotionally. We're sitting here the first hour of the show, could barely concentrate, that's me anyway, watching the game. I love how like somehow this event does that, and others do too, but really like I go from not knowing anybody on the team to just being completely obsessed with it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great event. It's one of those few things where the whole world really is playing it. And once you get to this stage, you're talking about, in theory, the best of the best. And it really does give everybody a chance to get massively invested if your nation is there. Like Ireland has sucked at football for a while. But 2002, I think, was the last World Cup we were at. And that was a pretty phenomenal World Cup for us, and a weird one because a lot of the big teams got knocked out early, and there was all of a sudden a pathway for Ireland to actually go quite far. But yeah, it's like the World Cup is awesome.
Right on. All right, let's get to American football here, Sam. So it's been since last Thursday, Thanksgiving, since the Bills played, looking more ahead to Thursday night as they go again on a Thursday here this week at New England. I'm always looking at the spreads and the futures odds, Sam, to try to take some cue as to what, you know, the public is thinking, what bettors are thinking about the Bills. And I sense, I'm not sure like how that way you are, but I sense that maybe there's some concern about this team. And I think it's in the fan base too. How about you? We've all been so impressed and confident about the Bills. Are you still at that same level?
I still think they're one of the best teams in the NFL. Potentially losing Von Miller long-term, I think, is a real blow. I think he had a real transformative effect on that pass rush, on that defense. I think part of what he brought will still live on. You know, he affected those young guys in more than just what he brought to the table on the field. I think he helped them off the field. I think he helped them sort of coaching them up almost, you know, by osmosis and just by being around those guys. I think that kind of thing will probably still have an effect even when Von Miller isn't there. But, you know, injuries are one of those things that can torpedo any team's Super Bowl push. And then, of course, the other aspect is Josh Allen has been more mistake-prone this year than he's been in the last couple of years. And whether it's all down to this UCL injury or whether it's something that was happening anyway and it's coincidental with that timing, it is a problem. I mean, the losses this year have almost directly been attached to Josh Allen's mistakes. The Lions game, I think, was closer than it should have been because of Josh Allen mistakes. You know, I think there's a very fine line between, you know, him being the best player and rightly sort of looking to him anytime there's a critical situation, and there being too much weight on his shoulders and him feeling that he needs to make the play every single time, which is potentially causing some of these errors.
You know, it's funny, like paying attention to the commentary on Thursday, I think a lot of Bills fans felt like Josh Allen told Tony Romo the elbow's bothering him more than he's let on to everyone else. That's how Tony Romo sounded to my ears. I don't know how closely you were paying attention to like the commentary on that game, but it just felt to me like, you know, if a Bills fan was thinking, oh, well, he's getting better probably, Thursday might have given you some pause in that area simply because of how Romo sounded about it.
Yeah, maybe. I also think Tony Romo is like acutely attuned to every injury that a quarterback has ever suffered because he dealt with all of them. So, you know, a lot of the times the second a quarterback gets an injury, you'll hear Tony Romo start giving you chapter and verse on what that is and what it means and, you know, how to navigate it and all those kinds of things. So I think there's a pretty good chance that Tony Romo was just projecting a little bit to Josh Allen. But you're right, it's possible. Like, whether or not he told Tony Romo it's worse than it is, or whether or not Romo just knows what dealing with that kind of injury is like for a quarterback, it is the type of injury, I think, that generally causes a lot of problems for an athlete, not just a quarterback, but, you know, athletes in other sports. So the chances that it isn't affecting him in any way, shape, or form, I would say, are pretty minimal.
The good news in that department is that this is the first week where he's practiced fully, both like all the days that they practiced, he's been fully involved. So there's no resting or skipping reps or any of that stuff, at least if the injury report's to be trusted, and I feel like I want to assume that it is. So maybe that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think, you know, if he can be healthy, that's obviously the first step towards trying to figure out if he is – playing at a slightly different way this season, or if he's just been on a run of poor decisions, maybe to compensate for the elbow.
With Sam Monson of PFF here on WGR, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Well, not every mistake, as you put it, is on a risky play. I mean, some are on more basic plays, but I feel like, you know, we're just trying to find some balance here, and Allen is trying to find a balance here, and I think the Cleveland game, this was demonstrated between being efficient and being careful, but also being Josh Allen and making enough plays to win his team games. And maybe that balance is the key to all this, Sam.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think it's a very difficult balance to hit when the quarterback is a guy like Josh Allen, because by his nature, you don't want him playing just a game managing style of quarterback. You know, he brings different things to the table. He brings a level of special to the table, and that's why he's worth what he's worth. That's why he's as good as he is. It's like, you know, if Patrick Mahomes suddenly developed the yips and started making a couple of weird decisions, and those Brett Favre plays that he makes throwing the ball back across his body into the middle of the field, if he went on a run of throwing, you know, four or five interceptions doing that, you can't stop him doing it because that's what makes Patrick Mahomes Mahomes. So I think for a guy like Allen, if all of a sudden he starts making a few bad decisions, it's kind of just something you have to live with, because the trade-off to that is all the special plays that he's making as well. And he's still making those, by the way. Like, that's part of this, is that the great Josh Allen hasn't disappeared. He's still making ridiculous plays at an incredible level. It's just the mistakes have ramped up, and maybe that's a transient thing. Maybe that's just a run he's going through at the moment and it's going to come and go. But if it doesn't, that's where I think they run into some problems.
Sam, we've spent some time already, you know, it's early in the week, only Tuesday, but we had, you know, extra time with the Bills playing on Thursday, talking about the receiving corps, and it's been a subject really all year, and even in the off season, like what, you know, do they have enough there? Is Davis going to take a step? We know Diggs is great, but they lost Beasley, Sanders. Now they bring John Brown back, and he's on the practice squad for now, but that feels like a flare going up from one Bills drive saying, like, we don't have enough here. Tanner Gentry dressed for the Thanksgiving Day game, Allen's old teammate from Wyoming. I don't know, what are your thoughts on the way that the year has gone at that position for them? Because there really has been, it's been more reliant on Diggs than it's ever been.
Yeah, and that I think is the problem. It's Diggs is spectacular, But you look just at the drop off in even in just targets between Diggs and the next player on the Bills, and it's massive. It's just it's so much bigger than it should be. It's you know Diggs has 115 targets this season. The next highest guy is Gabriel Davis at 59. So it's almost half what Diggs has in target rate. And then, you know, there's a bunch of guys at 40, 40, 30, 30. Like, it just, it's too reliant on one guy. And anytime that's the case, it can be successful and it can be really good. But if defenses know that they only have to figure out how to stop one guy, and then all immediately, even if the Bills are able to adjust, you're forcing a huge adjustment because they're not used to loading up Gabriel Davis or Isaiah McKenzie or Dawson Knox or whoever with that volume of targets. So if you're able to eliminate Diggs from the game plan, which is doable, you know, you can take away one receiver, admittedly, you know, at the cost of other things, but you can force them to go somewhere else with the football. If a team does that, they know that they are forcing a massive adjustment in plan A to plan B for the Bills. And I think in an ideal world, it would be a smaller pivot. You know, they would have a secondary target that was getting much more involved in the general course of the game plan. And I think that was supposed to be Gabriel Davis this year. And it hasn't really worked out that way. He's more effective this year than he was last year, but it hasn't sort of jumped up to being that clear secondary guy opposite Diggs. And nobody else has either. So they're kind of missing that one. I think they have number one and they have a couple of number threes. There's nobody taking that number two role right now.
His numbers look a little different, Davis, from this game against Detroit than almost any other game. They brought him closer to the line of scrimmage for his targets. Like, Davis has been this low catch rate, down 20 yards per play kind of player. You're not going to get a lot of volume, but you are going to get, you know, big plays if you hit him. But in this game, I mean, 4 for 38 is not a Gabriel Davis stat line against the Lions at all. On 5 targets, so he was even efficient in this game. We'll see if that becomes a trend. Do you have a quick thought, Sam, on what if Von Miller were not to return this year, that would mean? You made such a great observation with us after they beat Kansas City. Like, even if he makes those plays against Mahomes on first down, who knows if they even end up meaning anything. But the timing and the excellence there, that gave us all sort of visions of being able to handle Mahomes in a future meeting.
Yeah, I mean, it would be huge. There's no way around that. Like, he has 45 pressures this year. The next highest guy on the team has 23. It's another giant drop-off. I think he is the best pass rusher on this team, and he changed the whole dynamic. Even his addition changed that Buffalo defense significantly. You take him out of the lineup, it isn't the same. You know, a guy like Gregory Rousseau, I think, is playing really well this year, but it isn't the same as having Rousseau and Von Miller. So, it would be a massive blow to them, particularly against those best teams where you have to try and figure out something special to stop Patrick Mahomes, particularly the groove that he's in right now with Travis Kelce. It's so hard to combat that, and a guy like Von Miller is capable of showing up with those key plays and key moments that just does change the entire script. So I think if they did lose him for the remainder of the year, it would be, you know, a real body blow to how much or how what chances they have of, you know, going on a run, knocking off the best teams, and ultimately winning a Super Bowl.
There obviously is no silver lining to losing Von Miller, even if it's not for the whole year, if it's just for, you know, a few weeks here. But the good news is, Sam, I mean, he got hurt on Thanksgiving. I'm sitting in my living room thinking, all right, Rousseau's already out. Epinesa is already out. Like, where am I? Am I combing waiver wires for defensive ends here? Practice squad elevations. But Rousseau and Epinesa both are practicing fully. And like that, at least they're getting reinforcements there with guys that weren't available the last week or two.
Yeah, and the other thing about, you know, all this sort of crisis discussions about the Bills, they've been a really banged-up team this year. Like, they, I think, have the best roster in the NFL top to bottom, but at no point in the season have we been dealing with a full deck. Like, from the very start, obviously, Tre'Davious White wasn't there. The entire secondary has missed time at some point. You know, as you said, like, most of their pass rushers have missed time. This has not been a group that has stayed tremendously healthy, but so far, at least, they've generally avoided everybody sort of being done for the year. They've just missed a lot of time from a lot of players, but the chances of most of them still being available, you know, once you roll around to postseason football and get to the crunch games, are still reasonable. I think if that holds true, the Bills are still in a good spot. Like, if they can expect the majority of this roster to be playing in January, then I think they're still good.
We've talked about Mac Jones a few times this year, Sam, and I think of you not exactly talking him up, but not either with the persistent narrative that he's been really terrible for New England. Where are you at on, so I don't have to misstate your position, where are you at on Jones going into this game against the Bills?
Yeah, he hasn't had a good season at all, and hasn't really looked like the same player. I think it's not all his fault, and I'm not even sure that the majority of it is his fault this year. The change from Josh McDaniels to the current coaching setup, I think, has been pretty crippling to that offense generally and to Mac Jones specifically. But the game against Minnesota on Thanksgiving was the best game we've seen from him in a long time. Certainly this year, probably for the majority of last season as well, like, that was the best version of Mac Jones we've seen in a long time. So was that just a blip? Did he just have one good game? Or is Mac Jones going to go on a run and show that actually he is more like the guy we thought he was early last season? So, you know, I think Jones is capable of being a pretty good quarterback, but the situation around him when it comes to coaching and the offense and the scheme is not great this year.
How about how it went for Mike White, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty spectacular. His coach summed it up. Robert Sala said that Mike White made the easy stuff look easy. And that was really the biggest thing that Zach Wilson wasn't doing. Forget the big plays and the crazy stuff and the Mahomes and Josh Allen type high end. Like, just take the layups. And that's what he wasn't doing. Whereas Mike White comes in and is able to deliver the ball to Garrett Wilson and to Elijah Moore and to their playmakers, and just watch as Elijah Moore, Garrett Wilson rather, makes a cut and that runs the Bears defense for a touchdown. So I think Mike White played well, but I think his numbers are indicative of, like, the rest of the talent on that Jets offense, and the fact that all he has to do is really just be a facilitator and they'll put up numbers and points.
How significant was Sunday for the Bengals, you think, Sam? Like, I was really impressed with them. I haven't taken them as being on the top tier in the AFC or in the league. In Tennessee, for that matter, really isn't that either. But I was impressed that the Bengals sort of out-physicaled maybe the most physical team in the conference in their own place. I was impressed with the Bengals Sunday. How about you?
Yeah, not just Sunday, but I think this run without Ja'Marr Chase has been really important for the Bengals. They were so reliant on Ja'Marr Chase, and then when he went down, not only have they won without him, but they've won in a variety of different ways without him. You know, they struggled that first game, and then it was Joe Mixon, and then Mixon went down, and then it was T. Higgins in back-to-back weeks. And the Bengals, or a lot of people had always talked up T. Higgins as being, you know, he's a number one receiver on most offenses, but we have Ja'Marr Chase, so he's just another guy that we have that can destroy teams. And you're like, yeah, but is that really true, or is that what a guy looks like when Ja'Marr Chase is the other receiver? And for the last couple of weeks, he had to be the number one guy, and he was able to go out there and win one-on-one and win a bunch of contested catches and state a good case for being a true number one receiver. So I think that was really important for Cincinnati to show that they can win games when they don't have Ja'Marr Chase, let alone when teams take him away, and they can do it in a couple of different ways.
They have a really interesting schedule to finish out Cincinnati. Home to Kansas City this Sunday, home to Cleveland and Watson, at Tampa, at the Patriots, home to the Bills, and home to the Ravens. How about that home schedule at alone? Just Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens all on it. They're in position, you know, if they can win four or five of those games, you know, that might be enough to win the division. We will see on Cincinnati. All right,
yeah,
Sam.
I mean, there might be no team that will get a better read on by the end of the season than Cincinnati simply by the teams that they've played.
Right. Anything on the Dolphins real quick before we go? I mean, that was Houston this week. Now they go to San Francisco. That's a great one.
Yeah, I'm really concerned that they lost Teron Armstead, though, at left tackle. He not only is he one of the best left tackles in the league, but the drop-off to him and or between him and the next guy you know, if they have to go to Brandon Schell at left tackle, that just is not a viable game plan, particularly against a guy like Nick Bosa. So this is part of the equation when you sign a Teron Armstead. I don't think he's ever made it through a 16-game schedule in his NFL career. Certainly, if he's done it, it's only once. So you know you're going to miss a couple of games from him, and it's already happened once this season. If he's out for any period of time, I think that really upsets the apple cart for that Miami offense.
Very good, Sam. Great conversation with you. We'll always enjoy it. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.